Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you have the app, there's lots of notes from our Cornerstone app to follow along with in the message today. One of my very favorite cartoons growing up was the Flintstones. Anybody ever watch the Flintstones? Fred and Wilma and Barney and Betty and Pebbles and Bam Bam and Dino and Flintstones. We got to meet the Flintstones. They were a modern Stone Age family from the town of Bedrock. They're a page right out of history. You know what's amazing about the Flintstones, though, is it wasn't a worldwide phenomenon about the Flintstones. In fact, do you know the difference in the United Arab Emirates? Do you know the difference between people who live in Dubai and people who live in Abu Dhabi? The people who live in Dubai do not like the Flintstones, but the people in Abu Dhabi do. Wow, hey. You have no idea how forward I was looking to that moment in the service. I just, Abu Dhabi do. There's an actual stone called flint. When I go fishing, kind of back in the backwoods areas, I take this with me. It goes on my wrist. It's a paracord, so you've always got rope. It's got a compass, it's got a whistle, but it also has flint and steel, because I remember taking a hunting course and a survival course, and one of the things that you need to do if you get lost in the woods, one of the first things you need to do is be able to start a fire. And so this is flint and steel, and if you strike it, I don't know if you can see that. So that I just wear on my wrist, but you'd think that would be enough. But I actually have another one that's bigger, and it really helps you start a fire. I guess I won't put it on the paper here. So what happens when you strike flint and steel together? Whew. Should have been in the non-smoking section here. The sparks, hopefully you get sparks. That's the purpose of it, you get the sparks. And what the sparks are is, it's actually, you'd think it's the steel scraping off the flint, but that's not it. Flint is harder than steel. And so what you're scraping off, to my understanding, and that's why God made Google, that my understanding is it's actually the steel or the iron that is catching and is sparking and is lighting, because flint is harder than steel. We're going to look at a few passages in Scripture that actually have to do with flint. The first is found in Joshua chapter 5, beginning at verse 1 all the way to verse 3. It's about circumcision. See, because they, in the Old Testament, they would make and fashion knives out of flint because they could make it so sharp and it was so strong. And in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, it says, so it was when the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. 40 years earlier, their hearts had melted of people in the promised land when they heard God dried up the Red Sea and they walked through that. But now here is this relating of when they walked into the promised land, not just the edge of it, but they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land under Joshua's leadership. They go back under God's instruction, get 12 stones out of the riverbed that was still dry until the Jordan came back, flooded over again. But they walked across on dry land. The Ark of the Covenant had gone in. They're in the promised land. And the people of the promised land, their hearts melted. Now watch. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint. Here it is. Make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. Now, it's actually not the same people. They weren't circumcised twice. Again, the second time. It had to do with Moses, for whatever reason, Moses didn't seem to follow the sign of the covenant and circumcision. He didn't do it with his kid. We read the story about that in Exodus. And the generation that was born in the wilderness was not circumcised. The sign of the covenant, sign of God's covenant to Abraham, God's promise to Abraham, and even bringing him into the promised land. And so God says, do this. And so in verse 3, it says, Joshua made, here it is, flint knives for himself, circumcised the sons of Israel. It is so very interesting that God had Joshua do this, this of all things, when they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. Number one, it was a reminder of the covenant. It's exactly what God told Abraham to do with the men in his household. Now, we know at one point Abraham had over 300 men who would go and fight for him, 300 servants. And so God said to circumcise them all. It's a sign of this, the covenant between God and Abraham. And there's this renewal of the covenant, this reminder when Joshua comes into the promised land. So this is important. Secondly, he says that now I've taken away the reproach of Israel. 40 years later, taken away the reproach from finally when we've been delivered from Israel. Pardon me, from Egypt. Taken away the reproach of Egypt. Reproach of Egypt from Israel. But what I find so fascinating is the first thing that they did when they went into the promised land after getting the memorial stones is Joshua incapacitates the army. They are in no condition to fight. We'll find out that there's a whole different passage of scripture that happens with two of Jacob's sons that just talks about that they're in no condition to fight. So the first thing that they do when they enter the promised land is they become vulnerable. And not only vulnerable, but vulnerable as an eight-day-old child. They come into the promised land as a child, vulnerable, remembering the covenant that God had made. Three things about flint. Number one, it's a very hard stone. It's very hard. The prophet Isaiah will talk to the people of God in Judah and Jerusalem. And as he's prophesying, he'll be warning them of what's going to happen, that God is going to bring an invading army, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, an invading army. He'll explain that God planted a vineyard, and that's the people of God planted this vineyard expecting to get good grapes, but instead they were sour grapes. And like animals who would trample a vineyard, that's what's going to happen, is enemy army is going to come and trample them. Watch what he says in chapter 5 of the book of Isaiah, talking about God. He will lift up a banner to the nations from afar, and he will whistle. He will whistle to them from the end of the earth, and surely they will come with speed swiftly. Isaiah's prophesying about the enemy armies coming as a point of judgment. And now he explains what they're going to be like. No one will be weary or stumble among them. No one will slumber or sleep. No, nor will the belt on their loins be loosened. They're not going to just take a break from having their sword on them, nor the strap of their sandal be broken, whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows are bent. Now look at, their horses' hooves will seem like flint, and their wheels, the chariot wheels, like a whirlwind. When you see this army coming, their horses' hooves are going to seem like flint, hard, sparking on the ground, resilient. They're not going to be deterred. There's a hardness of this analogy towards flint. Now, the Bible will tell us, and this is the second thing about flint, not only is it hard, but there can be an analogy of the hardness of flint being very, very positive. In the midst of a difficult circumstance, the analogy is that there can be a flint-like resolve, resolution. It can be a great example of a determination. Isaiah will continue on in his book, and he will talk about the sovereign Lord and his plan to deliver his people. He'll talk about how God will rescue his people. He'll talk about salvation. And he'll specifically be talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Jesus that he doesn't use his name, Jesus. he'll talk about this servant of the Lord will accomplish God's purposes, however it will come through suffering. The suffering servant will accomplish God's purposes. You remember when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, talking to a couple people after the resurrection. He says this, ought not to have the Messiah suffered to then enter into his glory. It's Isaiah chapter 53, actually, that the eunuch is reading, and Philip takes him to this place of explaining Jesus, because it was about who is this guy talking about, himself or another, that he's led as a lamb to the slaughter. And it's this suffering servant. And so Isaiah will prophetically write about Jesus. Look what he says about the determination of Jesus to fulfill God's purposes. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 says this. You'll recognize these phrases about the crucifixion. It says this, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Watch this. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. It's this determination to fulfill God's purposes, regardless of the suffering. I have set my face like flint. Another prophet, Ezekiel. God's call to Ezekiel, he begins to outline what his ministry is going to look like. And he says to Ezekiel that, I want you to speak to my people, but they're not going to listen. He said, they don't listen to me, they're not going to listen to you. But I want you to speak to them. And there's going to be a point where, as they're not listening, I need to strengthen you to do this. Just like if you recall how God hardened Pharaoh's heart to be able to withstand the 10 plagues and see the glory of God revealed in this great deliverance. God says to Ezekiel, I'm gonna harden your determination. Watch what it says in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4. Then God said to me, to Ezekiel, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. I'm not sending you on the foreign mission field. You don't have to learn new language where it's going to be hard to communicate, where they're not going to understand what you're saying. I'm sending you to my people. I'm sending you to your people. Verse 6, not to many people of unfamiliar speech and hard language, so the words you cannot understand. Surely I have sent you to them. They would have listened. Had I sent you to the foreign mission field, they would have listened. They would have listened to you. Verse 7, but the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, your forehead strong against their foreheads. What you're going to face, what you're going to encounter, I'm making your face hard, your forehead. You're going to butt heads with them, but I am going to work in you such a resilience and a determination. Verse 9, like adamant stone, harder than of all the things he picks, harder than flint. Can you imagine? Harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them nor dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. This strong determination, like flint, rock solid in the face of opposition and a hopeless cause. I'm going to help you with your determination. The next thing, the third thing about flint, is that same hardness can be very negative. There's an illustration used again in Scripture, the book of Zechariah. One of the things that we love about Zechariah is the verse, not by might nor by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. It's a well-known verse, and we love that. But there is another verse in Zechariah that isn't well-known, and it's not as encouraging. It's actually about the people of God hardening their hearts against the Holy Spirit and against God, the prophets that God sends to them. It's this time of annual fasting that they're about to participate in, and they're questioning the Lord about should we or shouldn't we, and what should we do, and this is how the Lord responds about their time of fasting. Zechariah 7, verse 8, it says this, "Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts." Now this is about the fasting that they're about to embark on. "Execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." And so it's not just about somehow going out without food and being hungry. It's letting your lives line up with a repentant heart, a lifestyle, that there would be a change. But they would not listen. This is how they needed to live. What should we do? And he tells them, this is what you need to do. But they would not do it. Listen to verse 11. "But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts, which he had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts." Hearts like flint, hard, cold, resolute. Conclusion, what does the Bible teach us about flint? It teaches us that they made knives, flint knives that would be sharp, that would be used in renewing and remembering the covenant, just like Abraham did, Joshua would, as they enter the promised land. It teaches us that flint is a hard, hard stone for good or for bad. The hardness of determination to do God's will in the face of opposition, or the hardness of determination to not do God's will, to not hear his voice, to not obey his commands. Hardness of stone. What the Bible doesn't teach us, but we know this, and I demonstrated flint and steel. Every survival course I think you go to, they'll talk about flint and steel. Heritage Park, they can teach you about flint and steel. I don't know if you play any video games where you got to go find and make fire. You got to find flint and steel. And so now we're coming to the point of this service. If you have not yet been circumcised. No, that is not. That's not. Okay, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. That is not the point. But there are two more places in Scripture. I heard Chris say, oh my. I think the Lord said that too. Two more places in Scripture I want to take us to about flint. The first is actually Exodus chapter 17. The people have crossed through the Red Sea. So it's after the Exodus, just coming out of Egypt. They've crossed through the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness. And there's no water. They're thirsty. They discover they're in the water. See, the problem is, first problem is they got too much water. The Red Sea's in the way. Second problem is after they cross the Red Sea, there's no water in the wilderness, in the desert. And so both times they say to Moses, what were you thinking? Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? And there's this rebellion that takes place. God in this moment told Moses to strike a rock. Gather the elders together in front of the people, strike a rock and water. Water enough for you and for all the people will come out. Psalm 114 reviews for us what took place. Psalm 114 says this, "When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah became his sanctuary." We know the tabernacle was constructed. We know that God said, I'm going to dwell with you. Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. That's the Red Sea. The Jordan turned back. This psalm is talking about even when they crossed over the Jordan River. The Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The little hills like lambs. And then there's this question to the sea. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? Mountains, that you skipped like rams? O little hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. How come the Red Sea parted? How come the Jordan River flowed back to Adam. What took place? It's the presence of the Lord trembled the earth. But look at what it says. Verse 8, talking about this God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into fountains of water. The flint, the stone from where the water came from that Moses struck, the flint. In Deuteronomy, God will, through Moses, warn the people that when eventually you get into the promised land, don't forget God. Don't forget God. Moses will be talking to them. Don't forget God. Don't forget the things that he has done for you in the wilderness. The garments didn't wear out. The sandals didn't wear out. Manna was provided. Be very careful when you get into this land and you think, look what I've done. When you start eating of crops you didn't plant, when you start living in houses you didn't build, when you start to be at ease of God's blessings, said, so don't forget how God provided for you. Don't forget God. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 14. It says this, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Moses knows what's going to happen when you forget God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. From the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water. Moses says this again. Who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do good to you in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. Look at how you have been blessed. Don't forget God and somehow think you have done this by yourself. Moses strikes the rock. What do you get when you strike flint? You get fire. You get sparks. Depending on the rod you're using, you might get a broken rod. Because that's how hard flint the stone is. But one thing for sure, one thing, of all the things that I know, one thing for sure is when you strike flint, you don't get water. I have done this. I have done this many, many, many times, and not one time has water come out. When you strike flint, you do not get water. Unless you're God. Here's our response. I'm going to pray into this in a moment. And with all joking aside, when I talk about circumcision, Moses says this. As Moses is concluding his instruction to the nation of Israel, it's near the end of Deuteronomy. He knows that they're not going to follow the Lord, but he's talking to them about returning to the Lord. Listen to what he says, Deuteronomy 30. Then the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. After you've been scattered, you're going to return. The Lord's going to bring you back. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Now watch verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you might live. When you've wandered, when you've strayed, when you've gone away, when you've not followed the Lord as you've known to, when God brings you back. Just like Joshua, when they came into the promised land, they circumcised them. He says, when God brings you back into this place, he is going to circumcise your heart. He's going to cut away any covering of your heart that has prevented you from loving him with everything that you have. Your heart, your soul, your life. God is going to do a work of his spirit. And he's going to uncover your heart. In a moment, we're going to pray about that. Flint was used to circumcise God's people as they entered the promised land. Today, I want to pray that he'll cut away the covering of our hearts. Loved ones, following God starts as a heart issue. Following God starts as a heart issue. Secondly, I'm going to pray that your face and that your forehead would be as flint. that there would be a strong determination for you to serve and follow the Lord, for us to serve and follow the Lord, just like Jesus, to do the Father's will. There's a place where you might be familiar numerous times in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see Jesus, who knew it wasn't his time yet, who would escape the crowd, who would pass through the crowd, who would not let them crown him as king, it was not his time. But there's a shift, and in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 9, verse 51, it says this: "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Fulfilling what the prophets talked about. "I've set my face as flint." And Jesus knew what was ahead of him. And with determination and resolve, that decision, and he knew the time was right, he set his face towards Jerusalem. And that's the kind of determination that we need to walk in as we are following the suffering servant, who is also the risen Lord. No matter the consequences, we are not turning back. Shauna shared a scripture. Shauna shared a song with me, just a line of a song this week via email. "Though none go with me, still I will follow." I have decided to follow Jesus. May he give us faces, no matter what we face, faces like flint, foreheads, whatever we butt up against, there is a strength and a resolve that we will not do anything but continue to follow the Lord. We are determined. We have decided. And the last thing I want to pray is about this water from the rock. Of all the things that I don't understand, there are many. I'll tell you, this is one of them. How you get water from a rock. But I want to take you to just Exodus 17 one last time. We're going to pray. Because there's something that happens in that story that sometimes we wash over, we pass by, of what took place. It's recorded in Scripture of that incident where God had instructed Moses to strike that rock. I want you to watch really carefully. Pay attention to this verse. 5 and 6 of Exodus 17. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand the rod with which you struck the river, River Nile, struck the river, and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb." Horeb, Mount Sinai, mountain of God. "I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb. You shall strike the rock. Water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. It is such a picture of Jesus who was struck. Who was struck and life poured out for the people. Corinthians will tell us, Paul writing, "Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Under the cloud, all passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses, into the cloud and the sea." It says this, they ate the same spiritual food and they all drank the spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. It doesn't say a physical rock followed them. It says a spiritual rock followed them. They didn't carry this rock around. But Christ was with them, the source of living water. Jesus would declare on the last and the great day of the feast, he would say, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, just as the scriptures say, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus said, "Whoever drinks," to a woman at a well, "whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Just like the physical water that they drank in the wilderness, they will thirst again. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I give him will become in him in her a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So we're going to pray that God would do a work in our hearts. I'm going to pray and receive the promise that Ezekiel told us. Ezekiel tells us this, "I will give you a new heart," says the Lord. "I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, cause you to keep my judgments. You'll do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you today. You are the surgeon. You're the great physician. And God, we come to you today because we place our lives into your hands, and we pray that you would cut away anything that has covered our hearts, anything that has kept us from loving you with all of our heart and all of our soul. God, would you take out any places, the hearts of stone, replace it with hearts that are tender towards you. God, we pray today that, like Flint, we would have a strong direction and determination, faces and foreheads of Flint, like Jesus, to do your will, to do our Father's will. God, in the face of a world that is antagonistic, in the face of a world that is anti-Christ and anti-Christian, anti-Christ-like ones, God, would you give us the determination, the resolve, the dedication to follow you? God, only you can bring water from a rock. God, only you can work that kind of a miracle. But God, we pray in us that you would work a miracle that no one can do and that we can't well up on ourselves. God, we don't come to somehow look for a drink from a physical rock. But God, we pray that you would fill us with your spirit, that there would be a fresh outpouring, a fresh baptism as we come to you. That your Holy Spirit would so fill us that there would be a river of living water that would spring up within us. That not only would we experience that life change, but we would bring that life to a world that is dying of thirst, the life-giving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark's going to come and lead us in a moment of prayer together.
Good morning, church, and good morning, those who are watching online. You know, I'm so very thankful that every week after every service, we have an opportunity to welcome Jesus into our hearts. And today, Pastor Barry talked about Flint and the hardness of Flint. And we want to pray for our friends, our family, our acquaintances that may have a hardened heart, for their hearts to soften. And may we reflect Flint in our determination in what we do and how we share the gospel with others. May we just continue to do that. I just want to read a quick passage. And this is a passage from 1 Peter. And it says this, it's 1 Peter 1 verse 3, and starts with the heading is the hope of eternal life. And the Bible tells us this, "All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." You know, lately I've been reading the book of Revelation. And the amazing thing is that throughout the Bible, God communicates with us. And as Barry said, he warns us. He foretells of things to come. And in Revelation, he foretells of things to come for those who believe and for those who don't believe. Now, God is a patient God, and he is willing to wait. And he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to salvation, and he offers that to us. And God is a powerful God, but he's not a forceful God. He's not going to force you into heaven. He's not going to force you into hell. He leaves that totally up to you. He gives you the ability to make that decision. And you know, we all make decisions. Today, Patrick and Nate made a decision to be members of the church. Tara and I made a decision to move back to Canada. Pastor Barry made a decision to move into Calgary, buy a house there. All big decisions. Patrick made a decision to go to Lethbridge. But I want to offer you an opportunity to make the biggest decision of your life, and that is to welcome Jesus into your heart and accept him as your Lord and Savior. As I said, God is not going to force you into heaven or into hell. But I'll tell you this, we have two eternities. One is going to be with God in heaven for eternity, or one is going to be separated from God in eternity. So I ask you today, if you online or you in the auditorium or the sanctuary today have not made that decision, I'm going to say a prayer. And I ask you to boldly say this prayer with me. And it goes like this. Because the Bible does ask us to confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus was raised from the dead and God sacrificed Jesus for us. So if you're prepared to say this, please follow after me and boldly say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to a life again and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into every area of my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time today, or if you've rededicated yourself, then please tell somebody. Tell me, tell Pastor Barry, Pastor Chris, tell someone so that we can pray with you and give you more support and just help you on your journey with the Lord. I ask that you don't hold that within yourself. Please share it with somebody, and we'll be glad to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.